told him, welcome. Did you come to the town today?
I did.
Well done. How was your drive?
I was quite late, so.
Okay.
It was a little way from getting out of Queenstown because it traffic slipped off.
Yeah. Alright, now, we've got, I don't know, about 20 minutes allocated for you, but we'll just run with whatever it takes. It might be useful if you just take us through the initial summary that you sent here. Just take us through the main points of your written summary.
So, I'm representing the Burn Alpine Resort Limited. I was the author of both the submission and the submission and the that was launched last week. Overall, we support SB 52 as notified, particularly the identification of active area AC, subject to some minor amendments to enable small scale associated commercial activities to occur within the city. So the purpose of the activity area is to enable the coordination of car parking and shuttle bus access to join the Alpine Resort from the Mac Station. The submission by the Skidrona is that largely addressed the remaining of the activity area. Just to summarise, basically, I agree with the conclusions in Mr. Bryce's Section 42 report. However, I note that the technical map of the Climb car park, which is existing, that's actually located outside of the Macrodome Station special zone, so it's wholly entirely, as it exists today, it's entirely within the rural general zone. Therefore, support Mr. Bryce's recommendation to stay for that sealing of the car park because of that technicality that matters that it's not actually in the special room. That's the main issue.
I was reading through your paragraph 19 through to 25, which was all about Area 8C.
Yeah.
And when I got to the end of that section, I just felt a little confused as to whether the Area 8C is or is not in the special zone. But you're talking about the car park.
Okay.
So we've got Area 8C for the car park, which is in the Area 8C. When we were up there yesterday, we saw two fence lines. We weren't quite sure, particularly because we were descending into the mist, what that represented. And then I've got a few questions around the link road and so on. But can I just start with this one? Can you just walk us through that quite carefully?
Okay. So I reread you that it's something
confusion.
Okay. So that activity area so that's supposed to facilitate the car park area that adjoins it, which is located in the rural general zone. And it's also to provide for mitigation mounting, so visual mitigation from areas inside the special zone, so particularly residential activities. Looking to screen it from the house.
Up down in the development area?
Yeah.
Right.
So there's also an unformed legal road that connects to the Cadrona, the separate access road.
Yep.
So that area, your activity area 8C, is just to future-proof the shuttle, you know, the shuttle service and ski area operation, and provide for ancillary commercial, small-scale commercial activities within that activity area that are related to the ski field operation.
Right.
Yeah. So if you look at the attachment to my evidence, which is that business plan, which is purely for an illustrative purposes, it's not only for commentary or anything, it shows the access road boundary and the existing car park, and then that area B, which is the easement over the Kedrone Station land. So, yeah, the Kedrone Alpine Resort are investigating formalising this by resource consent to enable to establish mounting mitigation to screen the car park area from surrounding areas. It's particularly the houses. It's just a couple of houses. This is something they were exploring. So because the mounds would have to be located on land that's not there.
Put on your
No, it's on the Mount Kedrone Station.
Right.
Yeah. So that was the purpose of the unit for us. So this is not a form of documentation, but it was just investigating part of that resource consent.
So there seems to be a conflict between what you're saying and what the 42A report is saying, is that I think the 42A report is saying that car park is on some might be on your land, some might not be on your land. Have I read that correctly?
So the existing car park is purely on the Kedrona land, which is
right.
Right.
Yeah,
it's directly adjoining.
Right.
But this activity area 8C,
yes.
It might be in the future that the car park expands.
Right.
But at this stage, there's no formal plan for that at all.
Right.
Just to facilitate that, but it's mainly for the mitigation mounting.
Right.
Yes.
I guess the two fences that we saw yesterday, are they significant according to the boundaries or not?
So this easement thing notes boundary following the existing fence line. So that's the easement that they're looking at progressing is correlates with that fence, one of those fences.
Okay. There was a deal being discussed but yet to be concluded in relation to area B.
Okay. Yeah.
That east area is not yet an easement. And I cannot make the conditions a bit wrong on this point, but the requested position is, as pointed out, obviously the rules of the zone can only apply to the zone. The car park could extend into the zone, and therefore the civil recommendation of the 43 report is what the request is agreed to, in case it extends into the zone.
Yes.
Obviously if they build their car park on the road, which they own,
so if it's built on the Kedrona, Mount Kedrona Station property, that's the part that's in question over sealing or not sealing.
Yes. A bit extended over there.
Yes.
Of course, that may be addressed in the private agreement, but you can't be taking 20 into account.
One other question. I don't know if you were in the room earlier. We had Mr. Rossiter on the phone from wherever he was, Christchurch, I think, about traffic. And I know you're not a traffic expert, so I'm not going to put you in that situation. But one of the questions I asked him was around the link road coming from the village here up onto the Phoenix Road, which coming out probably wouldn't be such a problem, I imagine, but I was more concerned about the right turn in off the main exit, which seems to be quite comfortable with that, and there's plenty of room and on. I just wondered if Mark or if Cadrona had any particular comment on that, concerning the slowing patrons.
The only thing I've discussed with them is that whole area is just to facilitate that link, so that intersection, that linkage between the two zones, so the activity area would, facilitate that. But
So they haven't, so the client hasn't given too much thought to, I guess the road basically, here's HC and there's the road right there, so it's just off it. We were standing up there yesterday in the mist of the descent from the mountain, along with everybody coming down the road, and visibility was pretty much zero. So I was just exploring the different day, but I didn't know if your client had given any thought to that.
If I can assist, Ms. Holden was probably unaware that the parties are in discussion about the intersection.
So between Hurst Barn and Mount Cadrona, we're in discussion around there needs to be an integrated design for the community, and that will fit in with the overall car park design as well, which is scheduled. So there needs to be very good traffic assessment, potentially around about integrated overall design. So that's recognised between the two parts.
Right. Going back to the
counter control,
how is that operating at the moment?
At the moment, it's, I'm of the understanding, at the moment it's there, and it does require consent for earthwork, but apart from that, it doesn't trigger any consent in the district plan.
No.
Because, I'm assuming because at the moment there's no commercial access to that car park. As soon as you introduce the commercial element, it will require a consent for a commercial activity outside of the ski area sublands. So at the moment it's managed as part of a ski field operation. So the goal is to reduce the number of vehicles that are using the access road, especially as we see the conditions that it's snowing and icy and people aren't confident going up the mountain.
Is
that
what you
say? Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sure you thought the contour extended a little bit further down from where it's currently proposed.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the gondola. That's going to be my next question. You haven't said very much or have anything at all about that.
No.
Is there anything that you'd like to comment on about the gondola? We've been talking about it quite a bit today, so we've had questions around it.
I don't know enough about that project.
Right, okay.
Mentioned about the commercial activities and then the intersection, that it's subject to those copycat
chamber.
Yes, but I do note this in the rural general zones, just in the adjoining areas, consent triggers discretionary activity for a sea area activity not located within the sea area subzone. And I know that's related to the rural general zone, but could something like that be worded that would encompass an associated sea area activity in a similar way?
We had actually just spotted that. The definition of sea area activities includes activities ancillary to commercial recreation activities. So there's an actual definition that uses the term ancillary that brings in the length of what is ancillary and what isn't ancillary.
Well,
yes.
Well, that's
what
the reason for my question, that it also seems to guide the definition and then add it.
Yes, yes.
So what else might be ancillary? Boots? Skis? I mean, what would you have down there?
Toilets?
Oh, yes.
A hut where people in summer stop to buy their tickets to go bike riding.
Yep,
tickets are there. Tickets, yeah. See, the road is just ski area tickets out. I said, yes. Maybe we take our ski area and put tickets out.
Mm.
So, given it's an all year round thing, and given where the road is going, who knows who may stop and park there and buy a ticket or get a nap or to go and do something.
Mm. Okay.
So
are you
going
to pick up that point?
Yeah, that's what it's, yes. Okay. Pondering on that one.
Thank you very much, McCoy. Thank you,
Tony. Sorry, you're going to get
So the next submitter is Mr. Leslie.
Good afternoon, my name is Ian Leslie and the submission I made is 5205. I own the property here at 6 Jim Raspberry Lane, which is this one here. And it is adjacent to the ground station and it shares 450 metres of boundary with the zone. A number of our neighbours have also made some submissions, but unfortunately are unable to be here today, so I'll do my best to represent their views as well. Apart from the Corona Lodge down here in the southeast corner, which is below the escarpment, however, the only inhabited property which adjoins the plan change area. My permission concerns two main aspects of the plan change, and that is activity area fit from the boundary and water its demand and usage in the zone and the impact of this on Pringles Creek. The primary concern of myself and my neighbours with the zone is what happens on or near our boundary, as this will have the greatest impact on the rural amenity we currently enjoy. It has the potential to affect our outlook, our privacy and also bring noise and light into close proximity to our property. As you know from the site visit, it's a wonderfully quiet and peaceful location. The village zone is operational and if it goes ahead, clearly there will be significant change to the area. With Plan Change 18 and the operational plan that came from it, the area that's parallel to our boundary has seriously been described as a mitigation zone, a buffer zone, 100 metre setback, part of the open space network, one of the green space fingers and one of the overland flow chains. In Plan Change 18, a lot was put in store of these features, the open space network and the presence of the flow chains. I queried the planner of the day on this significance and was told that they were fundamental to the design concept. The urban simplest conceptual development plan, which was part of the Plan Change 18 analysis, went so far to describe this particular area over the fence as such. A 100 metre landscape setback zone along the southern boundary should be provided to reduce effects when viewed from the south through well-designed landscaping. No buildings or structures will be erected in this buffer zone. and said the zone will incorporate high quality landscaping and informal low maintenance vegetation. In the zone rules, this area is described as activity area 6, commonage, which provides formal and informal recreation activities. It provides communal open space through the zone. It restricts buildings in this area other than those associated with the functioning of the village. Provisioned gas storage facilities, a recycling station, and provision of small scale buildings associated with a potential sports field. So the area on the southern boundary has been previously identified as a mitigation zone, but also being part of the commons network, there is provision for some built land of an infrastructural nature. That's not to say that these activities must occur there, simply that there is provision for them as discretionary activity. They could easily be absorbed into the greater urban areas, and one would assume, given the emphasis throughout the plan on open space values, doing so would be the preferred option. It's also reasonable to assume infrastructure would be aligned with areas that reflect the use. For example, recycling facilities that are a community activity, so a logical place is within the community precinct. Similarly, gas storage requires heavy vehicle movement, so would be good access. If reticulated, one would expect it to be near the major users such as the commercial area. So while there is a provision for infrastructure on any of the commonage, there is no indication that it will specifically occur in these areas. Apart from the sports field it is, which is aligned to the education precinct in the current plan. So in summary, the existing structure plan, although there was provision for infrastructure to occur in any of the activity area sectors, there is nothing to suggest it needs to occur in these areas. Apart from the sports field, there has been no indication of any of this infrastructure on any of the publicly available structure plans in either the existing or the proposed plan. The built areas in the operational plan are dispersed and occur across the development and have the ability to absorb such activities, and the open space network has been identified as a valuable feature intrinsic to the zone. In my initial submission, I suggested that it seemed a contradiction that the area of most concern to us, that activity area 6 on the southern boundary, is considered a mitigation zone but also has the capacity for some infrastructure. Some that has been specifically identified, gas storage and recycling, and some that is only implied, such as the activities associated with functioning of the village. While the zone rules allow this in the existing structure plan, there are opportunities for these activities to exist elsewhere, and there's no indication that any of these activities would locate the area adjacent to the southern boundary. However, I consider the new development that's set out in Plan Change 52 makes it far less likely for such activities to be absorbed elsewhere, and in fact may make them unable to occur elsewhere. A comment was made that infrastructure will locate where it is most optimal. This is quite precisely my concern. I believe the changes in Plan Change 52 affect the ability for such activities to occur anywhere else, so that it would now be most optimal for infrastructure to be located adjacent to the southern boundary. While this is permissible, my neighbours and I don't think it's a desirable outcome. There are several factors that have led me to this conclusion. Firstly, the underlying philosophy of the development has changed. What is currently designated a village, I would argue, is now a resort. It is not a village with a golf course on its outskirts. Residential areas are defined by the golf course and a hotel precinct is the focal point. There will be no areas or petrol stations, but restaurants, bars, a pro shop and even possibly a gondola. So if you agree with my view, it's more resort than village. The reality is two key stakeholders dominate the new development, a hotel chain and a golf club. The criteria and priorities for citing the infrastructure and facilities are markedly different. A good example is the education precinct. Down here it is now gone. Educational activities can still occur as discretionary activities, but they are referred to as market-driven. the example of childcare is given, market-driven childcare is not a community attribute, but a business opportunity. Secondly, the building density in the new zone is greater. There's more dwellings on less space. The lot sizes are smaller, so typically there is less opportunity to start infrastructure amongst it. That is filling the gaps available. Also, higher density makes the land value higher, so there's less economic rationale to put low yielding activities onto higher value land. The lower altitude urban areas above the highway and the escarpment, the education precincts have been removed, and with them essentially lower demand sites, which again would have had more potential to absorb infrastructural activities. Thirdly, there is just a lot less activity area 6 available. Currently the open space fingers run all the way down to the eastern escarpment. Eastern escarpment, but all the lower public open space has now been absorbed into the golf course. The remainder of the commonage, with the exception of that on the southern boundary, is all highly sensitive areas. Two run through the middle of the residential areas and are funded by dwellings and the hotel precinct and the golf course, so it's sitting there. And the other two front the highway and the entranceway to the zone and the field. In addition, all these areas are narrow as well. The activity area 6 on the southern boundary is currently 100 metre setback, and by virtue of this, it's a sizable chunk of land that can be seen in comparison to the other areas of commonage, which is not on this one. That's quite narrow. Fourthly, the orientation of the village has changed. The village screen has moved up the slope to make way for the, to make the hotel precinct, and that opens out north across the golf course and Homestead Gully. The other main aspects of the residential area is out the west of the mountains and east across the lower golf links. I suggested in my submission that this effectively makes the southern activity area 6 near of the development. So it's all orientated to the north now. And our boundary along here, the back peaks of the development. This northerly orientation makes the southern boundary a less sensitive area than the other areas of commonage, as such it would be optimal for a hotel service in a golf course or a residential developer to vacate unsightly infrastructure as far away as practical from more visually demanding and higher value areas up in the It is significant too that there is already an infrastructure assigned to this area, the sports field slash tennis court. Originally the site is lower down, it's been moved up the slope to make way for the golf course. Small scale buildings are allowed in this area now by virtue of its presence. However, the topography is less than ideal in this new location. I calculated a fall of 12 metres over the length of the sports field based on the contour provided in one of the plans. And there's also a distinct open play channel that occurs in this area, a feature which was considered an asset originally in the plan change 18. The cumulative effect of any of all of these activities is no greater than different structures themselves. The infrastructural activities. None occur in isolation, all require various forms of interaction, all would bring traffic and movement and activity into an area currently designated for mitigation, with the consequences of noise and light spill. While the upward spill of light has been given due consideration, lateral spill and the effects of headlights has not. If you've seen the effect of a pair of headlights sweeping across the valley from ski roads, you can appreciate the impact maneuvering vehicles will have on nearby properties if they come into recycling station or gas storage station and or sports field and the like. Gas storage, recycling areas, sports field, tennis courts are all activities specifically identified. In addition, it's the way to activities associated with the functioning of the village. such an activity as parking, there's also a discretionary equity in activity areas. So it's not inconceivable that the hotel would want somewhere to coach parking. Where is the optimal place between the guest storage facility and the recycling bay? The residents may want somewhere to store their boats on trailers. Where is the optimal place between the recycling bay and the tennis court? Other structures or activities are not inconceivable either, under the provision for activities associated with the functioning of the village. And I speculated in my submission on various other possible scenarios. While these are non-compliant, they're not out of the question. They just have more hoops to jump through. Given the lobbying power and resource of the hotel chain, golf club and the design review board, that is certainly a possibility. We may have recourse through the consent process, but the presence of existing structures in an area of commoners would no doubt lower the threshold of acceptability. Acceptance associated with the function of the village and the accompanying phrase, provision of access to surrounding areas, took on new relevance for this area of concern to the Pringles Creek residents, with the deletion of the word precinct in assessment matters 9b, structures associated with the erection and maintenance of the gondola. We may have about that this morning with the gondola, not sure. But the rules currently have the gondola aligned to the village precinct, I believe. Deletion of the word precinct gives rise to the possibility that the gondola could occur anywhere in the village. I only became aware of a dedicated gondola corridor last week, and while the suggestion has been made that this location won't change, there is, however, an equally concerning amendment regarding gondola activities, and that is from discretionary to control. So as I understand it, if the amendments remain, not only can the gondola be positioned outside the village hotel precinct, there would now no longer be any need for public notification of this matter. Under the proposed rules, there is provision for gondola activities in Area 6 and Activity Area 7. This raises the distinct possibility of the gondola being moved towards the southern boundary. This is not inconceivable if the more desirable properties and outlook are to the north, and the current corridor is indicated on this narrow track of commonage in this highly desirable area from the area to the golf course of the hotel there. Any of these scenarios can be dismissed as unlikely, but the reality is we just can't anticipate what the future requirements may be. Six years ago, no one considered a golf course as an economic necessity for the viability of the village, and yet here we are today. Neither my neighbours nor me want to be back in here in future years arguing the merits of the gondola, except if we have any say in the matter, or any other structure that may be considered necessary for the functioning of the village. There is a phrase that crops up in the analysis, not more than slight. I think if any combination of these activities were to occur in this area of commonage adjacent to the southern boundary, the effects would be more than slight. I think the plan change has potential to take what is for all intents and purposes a landscape, a mitigation zone, and make it a land bank. In summary, with regards to activity areas from the southern boundary, some activities have been specified as possibly occurring here, others have been just implied. Opportunities for these activities to occur elsewhere have been greatly reduced with the plan change. The fact that infrastructure will locate where it is most optimal is our major concern, as the criteria for this is defined by the key stakeholders of the development, and this is now markedly different. This is a large tract of land, and there is some flexibility in the rules governing it, which allows modification beyond the purpose it was initially indicated as having. While most of this modification would be subject to the consent process, the resources invested in a contrary view are likely to be significant, as a contrary view to ours, as are likely to be significant and likely to grow as the development progresses. And given the potential for a variety of activities, this could be an ongoing process over the years it is. What my neighbours and I are advocating is that this commonage along the southern boundary be protected from encroachment by structures and infrastructure not only to preserve some of our amenity, but also that of the residents of the southern neighbourhood and the development as a whole. Zone 7 above, the heritage zone is protected from all but other activities, and zone 9 below will remain open space by virtue of it being the golf course. Protecting activity area 6 on the southern boundary would maintain the integrity of the open space surrounding the development and ensure a clearly defined urban boundary, which has been stated as an urban design objective. We would provide separation and help delineate the development from the Pringles Creek residential area and in turn from Cadrona Village itself. There is also an opportunity to create a landscape public space with a character between that of the manicured form of golf course below and the pastoral nature of the heritage area above. Protecting this area will ensure long-term peace of mind and confidence in the ongoing strategy and planning of the development. If complete protection of this area is not an option, we request further restrictions to remove the vagueness of the rules and restrict structures and encroachment. We would ask that the Golden remains a discretionary activity and its location remains prior to the village seeker to provide ongoing certainty as to its location and its consent process. We think the sports field is inappropriate here. It should be located on flatter terrain in the best suited location. And certainly the regular form of a tennis court makes it more appropriate to be located immediately adjacent to some other built form. Further aspects I wish to raise on behalf of my neighbours are they endorse the measures to protect the night sky, but wish them to extend to all exterior lighting, be it residential or commercial. There remains concerns of the paper road status of Pringles Creek Road for the end of it. I thought this was to be removed as part of Plan Change 18, but must still be in existence, and the concern is that it's still, that it could be reinstated and it's just where it runs across up there to see. Concern is because it's been reinstated. There is only one entrance and exit to the zone, so it's conceivable that the hotel, golf club and sauna review board, or even the NZTA, could push for a secondary route in future years to come to provide additional access. Such a road will become a shortcut and no doubt be encouraged as a delivery route to avoid the high profile activity areas in the hotel and whatnot. I know it is outside the plan change area, but perhaps there could be some clarification on this matter and further consultation with the residents concerned. The Pringles Creek residents also ask that the mitigation and planting be undertaken before and at the end of the development commences, as identified by M4 and Structure Plan D mitigation planting officers. Species such as the native beech identified for mitigation are slow growing, so it's in the business undertaking in the future. Now I go to the second part of my submission, which is regards water and its demand and use within the zone and impact on this on Pringles Creek. Pringles Creek, in conjunction with the Cadrona River, are sole sources of water for the zone. Pringles Creek, in particular, is a small, vulnerable water course. It lies completely outside the zone and therefore it affords no protection from the zone rules. The sole source of protection for the stream is the residual flow mechanism. Apart from rainfall, there is no source of water within the zone. There has been no indication that well or more water is a supplementary option. Pringles Creek runs the length of our property and on down to the other residents. We all value it highly and we all seek to enhance its margins. Not only is it a valuable environment to us, but also the greater area sporting fishing birds, flora and fauna. I was surprised to see in the analysis supporting the plan change there was no assessment of water requirements of the zone. Its demand, its usage and storage requirements. I would have thought in this day and age a detailed water management plan would be necessary. Perhaps it is, but it's just not part of this process. The only assessment in the plan change was that the consents are in place and sufficient. I know that the water permits are the responsibility of the RRC, but its demand and usage are all determined by the activities in the zone as determined by the structure plan and zone rules. In my submission, I queried the lack of data and analysis of this matter. The plan changes increased the number of dwellings and added a golf course, so demand can only increase significantly. Not having the resources to commission my own hydrological assessment, I was able to pull some data from the ROSC from a report prepared in 2009 for the renegotiation of the Mount Katrina Station Board permit, 2009-191 and 2009-435. And this report, the extracts I took from it, have been submitted. Table 1 of this is an analysis, and it includes the estimates of potential demand of 1,292 cubic metres per day. It's highlighted the primary allocation for total purposes is only 1,077 cubic metres a day. Now, this is old data, and the dwelling numbers have changed, have increased slightly, but it should be reasonably comparable. It indicates that there isn't necessarily sufficient water available. I'm sure you can work the numbers around, but my point is that it's not as cut and dried as there's clearly sufficient water available. Figures 1 and 2 show monthly average stream flows and irrigation season flow. This data was prepared with the old consent value of 56 litres per second and I've annotated on the new value. Primary allocation is for 15 litres per second above the residual flow of 15 litres per second. This is a shared allocation with Cadrona River, but it's clear there is insufficient water on this data alone for the full allocation to be reliably sourced from just Pringles Creek. How the burden of the allocation is to be shared is not defined. The inference is just the deficit would be required from Cadrona River, but this may not be the case. And it's unclear how this mechanism would operate. The secondary permit is for irrigation and is exclusively for Pringles Creek. Gold Course would be likely to be a significant user of irrigation. This permit has a residual flow of 25 metres per second and an extraction rate of 30 metres per second, so its own would require a stream flow of 55 metres per second. And concurrently with the primary permit, in excess of 60 metres a second. Clearly on this data, there is a significant deficit of water for the majority of the irrigation season, and the bottom graph indicates on that flow of 60 metres per second that there's only 30% of the irrigation season sufficient water. This is only my layperson's assessment, but in the absence of any other, I'm yet to be reassured that there is unlikely to be any long-term impact on the stream. Potential exists for long periods of maximum extraction, reducing the stream to extended periods of residual flow. Without rigorous oversight, the potential for over-extraction exists, even with the measurement systems in place, it could be a long time until a fault or failure is noticed, during which the damage to the stream environment could occur. This report is 7 years old, and the water resources are stated at over-allocated green and demand only increased. The zone objectives with regard to sustainable water practices are a little vague. Objective 7.7 is to encourage sustainable water use practices. Design guideline 3.7 is to consider installing greywater irrigation. And design guideline 3.9 regarding planting is that it should need mineral irrigation. I would suggest that when 600 households see their lawns sprouting off in the summer, that the sprinklers will be out regardless of the encouraging and considering. I suggested that the zone requirements go beyond these emotional statements of merely encouraging, considering and educating on sustainable practice and ensure provision for the capture and storage of all rainwater reefs and paved surfaces to contribute to zone irrigation needs. Similarly, the capture and reticulation of rainwater for reuse for irrigation should be mandatory. This water can easily be passively filtered through a planted swale type mechanism. These are common, and this in fact would be a good use of the open flow channel adjacent to the southern boundary, providing road clearing and planting and a source of irrigation water where it exits into the golf course area below. My point is there is an opportunity to set a standard in sustainable water use practices far beyond just these suggestions. This is a greenfield development in a highly sensitive area and a region facing long-term over-allocation of water resources. In summary, the Resource Management Act places great emphasis on the protection of waterways. I know it falls outside the plan change zone, but we seek protection of the attributes of Pringles Creek that goes beyond the sole mechanism of residual flow monitoring. We seek clarification as to what the water demand from the stream will be with regard to shared consent with the Cadrona River. And we seek the investigation of alternative water sources from within the zone, such as the viability of all water to reduce demand from outside water sources. We also seek more proactive measures for more efficient use and recycling of water within the zone.
Before you ask questions, I might have to simplify things here. I can just put something on the table for you. I've just read something. If you look at your structure plan A, apparently, as you have to discover this, a reference to recycling station and gas storage is intended to be those activity areas fixed on the right hand side of the side of the road. That's where they're proposed to go. So in fact, there's never any intention to put them in the activity area 6 that Mr. Leslie has concerned about.
Nothing at all.
And before you ask questions,
by the road.
Yeah, see those activity area 6, that's where the recycling and the gas storage is, which I was aware of.
Okay.
So as far as Mr. Leslie's commission, if we call it Activity Area 6A, the request is quite happy with no above ground structures, excluding fences, might be some fencing, and no vehicle access through 6A onto that unformed paper road that Mr. Leslie's concerned about. We only suggested calling it something 6A to separate it from the others. So,
We picked up, we'd already picked up ourselves that there was the potential for the gondola to go on the southern boundary,
which
is not what was intended. So,
you said they call it 6A and no gondolas.
Yeah. So they're gone, so they're going to have a look at rewriting some of that so that there is a new 6A and the gondola would not be in that zone, and likewise
again, no recycling,
no gas storage,
just to clarify,
no above ground structures,
no
vehicle access through 6A to that unformed paper road.
What about structures associated with a sports field? Small buildings associated with sports
No above ground structures. No tennis courts.
No tennis courts.
Nothing at
all.
That's the request's position.
Can I just ask a question on tennis courts before I ask Mr. Leslie any question? Where are you sort of pinning me down on detail now, isn't it?
Well, I think we should have detailed something.
Right.
Yeah,
you can picture the script of the state. Yeah. The sports field issue, Mr. Leslie, is that the developers prefer to not have the sports field. They prefer that it went down to flat ground in Cadrona Village, which seems like the same sort of solution. I'm going to ask the residents some great things about that when they come along.
He's here.
He can overhear this discussion. So at the moment, that's off the plan. But they're easy either way. But we would prefer them not to be there, and sort of where I took from it. So a lot of those things are going to be addressed, but we've still got some questions for you. But the trouble is that the day moves along, things change, and if you weren't here, you would have missed some of that. The other thing that happened before we go to questions is there's a witness, Tom Heller, on water. Were you here then?
No.
So there'll be some evidence floating around in the room. I'm not quite sure what it is. But Mr. Leslie should have a copy.
And what he did is he gave us a summary of this evidence which attached the latest RRC permit that's been granted for water. So the permit you've referred to, I understand, has been in place. And what happened was...
Oh, sorry, you've got anything on me, can you?
Wrong room.
Wrong room. Go with that. My humble apologies. My humble apologies.
Could leave off. Come on.
So what we've got to explain to us is that within light of plan change 52, compared to plan change 18, that the developer went back and had the water needs reassessed, and a new permit was applied for, which is the permit that's applied for, which is attached to Mr. Keller's evidence. And he's explained to us how that all works, and is quite confident that everything can be addressed through the water. So, just to keep, the nature of a hearing is things land everywhere, and eventually you end up with a slightly different story, which is what's happening now. So, he was quite confident that there would be no issue about the supply of water across the water. And his evidence isn't lengthy, but we had quite a discussion around that.
I just saw a little bit. I mean, at the end of the day, we've got an RRC consent, and it's got a residual flow on Prince's Creek, and it's monitored 24/7, and that feed goes to RRC, and every year we have to write a report that says that we're outside of that. So, I mean, we can't do more than that. And our intention will be to have a sophisticated management system that says that if we breach it, then we might do that. So we will have a system which if we get low, then we stop taking our principles and take our principles. So, I mean, we can't do more than that. I mean, we've got a consent which gives us, which we've got an expert, we've reapplied, we've got a new plan, we said that's what we've got. And we have, I mean, a considerable amount of extra water, you know, for other developments above us in this year, there's no residual flow in here over it. So we're not incentivised at all to try and take it out of Pringles in terms of, you know, getting extra water. So, I mean, we have to comply with the RRC consent, and if we don't comply, then we might lose that consent. So, you know, we'll take it on because it's a gravity flow into the water system from there, and then at the moment that residual that we need, if we're going to meet that residual flow constraint, then we'll take out of the So it's a really straightforward system. I can't see any, you know, we had it checked by an expert, and that's what he does.
You two can have that discussion outside the room, otherwise you're going to lose track of where we're going here. Just wanted to update you with all of that, and so take that away and read it. I'm just going to go to the Commission and see if I've got any questions for you on the evidence you've just given, but before I do that, are you able to make a copy of that available to
Secretary?
Can you make sure that you've got everything that you said? Because I scrolled down the notes, but I didn't get them down.
The Secretary, please also forward it to us.
Yeah, no worries.
Well, I think that Commissioner Quantas covered that quite well earlier in the week here this morning, that there are quite a few changes proposed, particularly. So just to clarify, your objective is to say that there are no buildings or above ground structures.
There's mitigation zones, so you want to maintain that such.
Okay. And then from listening to you itself, like you've stayed residing in the area for some time and like your knowledge of developments in the area, and you mentioned water efficiency, spices and things like that. Is that type of thing used in other developments in the Corona Valley? Is that a common
measure?
We drove to here yesterday with an attorney bay there, so you were there.
Yeah.
So this is your property down the line down here.
Yeah.
Okay, sort of here to here, how far is that, do you know?
It's
about 100 metres.
It's about
100 metres? Yeah. Okay. Okay, and this point here is a turning bay for everybody down here, I'm sure. Road trucks go here, or school buses go here.
Yeah,
okay, so everybody in these sections will take their rubbish to their point.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I want to say. Yeah, right, okay, so this is you here. Perfect, yeah, lovely, thank you. Just a tennis court inquiry, because the developers are haven't quite decided whether they want a tennis court or not a tennis court. I think I've got that right. But
not in 6A.
Not in 6A at all, period.
Okay,
well then I won't ask a question about that. Alright, that's fine. No, I'm from one more. No, thank you.
And what about parking? Is that
prohibited?
In 6A.
Prohibited. Who does that like?
I thought it was just
exception. Except for construction.
I'm sorry, this question is
important. Just speak to the company, the officer's side.
I just want to go back to your point about the gondola. Because you may, you know, quite rightly said removing the fixtures on discretionary control, that's what the developers want, and therefore no further public notification. What, if we agreed with that, what would you like to see in the plan change? Are there any particular matters that are not in there now that you would like to see included? Just on the gondola.
Restricted to that precinct area.
Now, so let's just be clear where that is, because you referred a lot to the old plan.
Yeah.
So can you just refer us to the new plan?
Yeah, so we did see the gondola corridors. Yeah, some of the corridor, there was a pivot point in it. That concerned me that it could pivot further around, especially because that boundary is elevated. That may make sense to put it at a higher point. But at the moment, we just don't know, and if there's no notification, then we'll look out of the process.
Here's my question, because I'm aware of that.
Previously, it had always been aligned to the for this precinct, so they hadn't actually given it, which was way over existing once a year.
Yeah.
So we hadn't really given it much thought. It's only when it saw the deletion of that precinct that it seemed to be that it could occur in the village.
So you prefer for it to be centrally located within a few.
Yes. Yes. Because we're only quite a village. Other people in the village area. Yeah. And then the hotel area. So, it may become
preferable to put it on the phone. With the comments that you've made about the lighting, are you happy with what you've read in the documentation about the mitigation of lighting?
Yes, they were happy. It was just wanted to ensure that it was extended to the residential areas and not the street lighting, which I think they are under the design rules.
With that lighting that was suggested in the drone zone, was that the same as the Junin Road that you like? Was lighting down here?
No.
There's no lighting there at all?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. was here in the daytime, he's doing something he noticed, so I can't be sure. It's the same style of lighting that the sphere that you talked about. Yes.
I would have thought it would be a premium on that.
Any
other questions? We've had quite a lot of discussion today. Round discussion with the head to make sure that we're properly informed as to what's going on. It's changed quite a bit today. So.
I can go back to the neighbours, so I can't take any credit for it because it's going to
happen. You push it to the front here. So Mr. Goldsmith and Ms. Hill are going to go away with Mr. Brown and do some further work on the plan provision because we've had quite a number of questions about things that need to be improved on. So we haven't seen the final version yet.
Is that then discussed more or is it?
It will come in the applicant's reply, which will be the final document. But thank you for making time to come to the hearing. Appreciate. We all do. Appreciate the time. You to come from somewhere.
I've been running my own Queenstown. So
excellent.
Mine will be here.
Having a day with everybody else. Okay, so we're
going to
move on. Sorry.
Can I just add one clarification? So there is already a restrictive covenant in place between all the Brindle Creek properties and the Malcolm Administration Zone that no structure can be built within 100 metres of the boundary.
Right.
So there's already that restrictive covenant on top of the market anyway.
Okay.
Just to clarify that.
Yeah.
And I just clarify in case there's a misunderstanding. That map that I produced by submission with the dotted line, it's not part of the plan. There's no gondola route as part of the plan.
No.
It's just, that was just a possible route.
Yeah.
But the session here is that they're showing no gondola in CISAR. That's
quite clear. That's good.
Chair, my name is Clive Adams and I'm the chairman of the Canat of the Cadrona Regulars and Ratepayers Society. This point is to point out that Pringles Creek is all part of our area. Not all neighbours and members of Pringles Creek belong to our group. As a community, we support Plan Change 52. As provided by, proposed by Nasty Global Station, for its potential benefits to our community. In our initial submission, we cited the reasons to support being, one, reduction of residential lot numbers and size, hence affordability from the original proposal. Two, a golf course to promote, encourage tourism, visitors, recreation and employment. Three, a hotel that will provide accommodation and employment, and another reason to come to Cadrona. Four, which is a big one, a sewage and grey water processing plant that could eventually be used by the main Cadrona township to replace existing plant that will not cope with future development in the valley. That is huge for us. Five, the rationalisation of the road entry and exit, which is currently very hazardous between the ski field entrance, horse riding facilities, distillery, and the gardens. And six, the development of the gondola system, for access to the mountain both in summer and winter. In summary, we commend and thank the Mount Cabrona Station for keeping us, the community, up to date and involved in any developments or proposed changes that could affect us generally in the area.
Thank
you. Questions? I think you would have heard that there were some changes for part of the project today, and I wondered if you had any view from what you've heard in the summary that's given now about those changes. Primarily, we want to see it go ahead because, I mean, I'm totally selfish, so I've got to be out of the bottom about sewers and grey water. If this is the price to pay to get a system which is going to clean up our valley and clean up our river, let's do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In life on where the proposed football field or tennis court might go in this valley, because it's coming out of 6A, so we would have gone to the
valley. We haven't had one for many, many years. We have cricket pits, we have concrete cricket pits, we've got all sorts of other ancillary areas of recreation, particularly walking, cycling, you name it, we've got it. The question I'd ask is, do we actually need a tennis court? And do we actually need a soccer slash rugby slash football field? The green areas are there, the green areas are for everyone, the green areas are totally accessible in the in the valley. We've got more tracks walking right through. I mean, if you really want to do it, you can walk across the little there. Why would you need a rugby pad? The community itself, we are actually looking at doing a fun playfield, like swings, that style of thing for the very small people. The majority of the small local children, they want to be outside, they want to run around. So I don't think a tennis court's going to stop
that. Community playground.
Correct.
I just had a quick question about the first point you raised about what the community wanted, and you said housing affordability for the village. Who for?
Housing affordability is effectively when, if the spectrum sizes are reduced, effectively the value of that, I believe, rather than going up, stays down, which means that there'll be some. Will give the avenue to actually have more affordable houses. Workers, I mean, if you look at the area now, we have desperate. You cannot rent a place. You can't buy a property to build a house in the Cabrona Valley anymore. There is none to sale. There hasn't been for years. Mm-hmm. And the ones that when they do come to sale are at extremely high price. So the answer to that, in other words, is this subdivision will actually make more sections available. And then when you look at what's happening in Monaco and things, I can't see prices being absolutely outrageous. There's so many more properties coming online.
Well, they have got some numbers in their assessment, which aren't particularly low, I should say, because it's
The pubs, they want the restaurants. As an example, we used to feed them. I worked up the snow park. We used to feed them in the mornings because they basically crawl out of the party straight onto the staff bus and turn up at work. I mean, that's what young people do. When you feed them, basically, you sort of get some work out of them. So, workers predominantly will travel. Take it to the other extreme, Cromwell didn't work for NGSP. However, Wanaka works exceedingly well for current.
Make your questions, significance and the solution framework system, which is the first point up. How far down the track is the residents association with that, in that process? You don't say I should know. But
very long story. However, we have, to cut it short, there is a after the LDC decided not to continue with the pipeline, which was the preferred that was the preferred option that we wanted to go with, and with the logistical slash engineering problems, put that all on the back burner. So the next grey water, we then formed a grey water subcommittee, basically to get a satisfactory resolves the problem, because we have a grey sewage water problem in the valley. So at this point the subcommittee is working pretty actively with QLDC and the key holders, particularly Nakagawa Station, Smithfield and Brooklyn Holdings, which of course have a very large subdivision in the Kajuna Village, plus the people at the pub. They all have a huge stake involved. Now, this is, there is another meeting tomorrow at 4 o'clock where I believe certain options are being discussed. That probably is as far as I can take that cast.
Yeah. It's quite an important part of the equation as to what the evidence
is. It's massive.
Yes. Okay, so I think that's good. Thank you.
I'd like to share, I'll just clarify one point. There's twice made reference to lot prices of $800,000 to $900,000. The economic analysis.
No, not the lot. I think I just said a value or something like that, didn't I?
Because the economic analysis talked about the existing development having a range of 85,000 to 550 for a lot, and the proposal having a range of 110 and 370.
Yeah, I was thinking of that he's also got under the million for the total package.
Right.
Yeah,
850
and 970. I mean, you and I know, because we've had this earlier before, about what's affordable and what's not. I mean, I'm not going to go there. But I mean, the total package. All right. Now, we're going to the opposite of that. We've got no
other
here,
thing. Dave.
So who's
going to
go first,
Mr.
Bryce?
Dave can go first, if
you like. No.
Okay. Now, have you heard everything today?
Yes, I have. Apart from the first half an hour. Hey, so I'm Dave Compton Moen. I'm an urban designer in Kapakti. From working for 3LPC, and I had peer reviewed Mr. Effie's report and Mr. Munro's, and so I've processed on the changes from the operative planning to what's proposed now. In terms of the landscape and visual sketch, I agree with Mr. Effie's report, and the current design proposed compared to the operative will be slightly positive, since it's got, of course, having visual effect in building and that the expansion of activity area 4 further to the west is no more slight. In terms of the urban design, I do consider that the smaller lots is a positive design change. You end up with a more compact development footprint. So it provides more diversity. There's more diversity in lot size as well, so it'll meet more of the market. Whether that becomes affordable or not will largely be up to the developer and the build costs in the market. But it does potentially provide more opportunity for that. The changes to the village core, again, it'll come down to the actual design. affect the important aspects to retain the whatever it is about here that, you know, does relate to the street well, in terms of commercial development, and it's not set back behind a large car park, so you actually got that potential to create that village feel, and when you're sort of designed by the developer, good images from there, what they're trying to attempt, but then it sort of, it does vary, that's what's in the master plan, so I think it's just the, that needs to be controlled, and probably will be through the design process that they're recommending. In terms of the playing field and the tennis court, I've heard all the evidence given today in the discussion. I consider for a development of this size that it is important to provide some form of informal, I guess informal play space, open space, where there is that opportunity for kids to kick a ball around or generally just muck around. But it doesn't have to be a formalised playing field. But I still think that there has to be that aspect of open space that's different from a golf course, because that obviously is a formalised recreation space. And then my last aspect that I looked at in my report was looking at the movement network, and I agree with Mr. Monroe's comments of the proposed design. Potentially better than the last design, and that it does bring the main road right into the development. It's just the movement economy, really. That people passing by will stop at the shops, grab something, and then carry on. And that's
what I'm saying. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Before taking a question, your qualifications and experience went on your.
Oh, no, sorry.
Of course,
yeah. Yes, I've got a degree in resource studies for urban planning and a degree in landscape architecture for about 20 years of experience, and I have been working here and in Hong Kong. I currently run my own business. I have about a year prior to that I worked for local government, but also engineering firms like UWH and Jacobs. I tend to do a lot of urban design work where focusing on visual impact assessments, but then also do property development projects as well. Two projects I've had a chance to review from Jack's points, their process, and the double up there between the council and the private developer, and then also working on a project in Wife and I, with a similar process. A lot of it comes down to how the developer runs it, but they have a different interest as well, ensuring that their design intent is carried through. I do see that it has worked. But it's something I think has to be flexible to change as well over time. Otherwise, like a Truman Show sort of idea where everything becomes a bit vanilla. So yes, you need that ability to approach with that over time.
So do you have a view on whether animals are common to mankind?
From earlier this morning, that can allow for lots of development to be dealt with effectively for a footprint of carbon and perhaps does not even require plan rules.
I'm pretty strong in believing that
P15 height site coverage, your kitchen planes, you have those, are covered by the been extensively covered by the council. But then the site starts to look extensively landscape, roof pitches, materials, colours, that I think they can start to fall into the developer's ground, or the design board's ground. Fencing is a good one that's been covered by confidence, and that's
in just under your conclusions, point number three, there is also point number four, both called conclusions, and I wonder whether there's a typo or something here, because on four, urban design values, I do not consider that the current design achieves, I mean, it doesn't sort of kind of, it's not complete, I don't
think. Yeah, there's a typo.
So should that conclusion not be there?
Yeah,
number four should not be there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fine.
I've got a couple of questions. First of all, on page, section 2, section 2.1.3, the inclusion of the golf course. Then in that paragraph, you've got improvement will be for dwellings to front green spaces if road edges provided. Now, sorry, this is probably written on my copy some days ago. Just checking with you that that's all been addressed now, or have you been back to check on any of that?
In terms of the road edge along the golf course, it can be a nice to have, but again, it comes down to the detail of growing the development. There are benefits as well that of having houses that front directly onto the golf course. I think what's key is that there's sufficient spacing with the visual connection through from the public street to the golf course, that there's not a complete separation between the public street and the open space.
I'm just looking at the time. I'm assuming that you're happy to continue on and to get through Mr. Bryce so that we finish up today.
Okay, I'll be very happy with it.
Carry on.
Sure, we'll be.
Mr. Bryce, thank you.
Thank you.
No,
I don't. I'll just talk about the extent of the changes that have been talked about through the hearing process to say that I'm over the top of any changes that are proposed. So I think the issue to do with the sports field has got probably a little bit more traction than it should have. And that really links back to the original operative plan provisions for that were promulgated under Plan Change 18, which links to what was the previous one of the activity areas, can't quite read, I think it was activity area 3B, where it was proposed to have educational activities and specified in that location. And I've got no concerns if the sports fields are deleted from the structure plan, although I do think that if that is the case, that the rule framework linking back to educational facilities should actually have an amended provision or a matter of control specified, and that links back to the provision or access to open space, because that was essentially the reason why I was reticent about deleting the indicative sports field in the first place, because there was no provision in the plan that really looked at or provided the council or future planning officer any form of control or discretion relating to access to open space for educational facilities should they be located in that zone. And there was quite a bit of discussion through the plan change 18 process as to whether or not there was even going to be educational facilities up on the zone. But because they had actually specified an area where they could go, and that was located next door to an indicative sports field, there seemed to be a relationship, and it seemed to be that there could be some form of facility up there. So I think that stands to reason that we should look to expand that matter of control. So it would probably be under control activity, and I'm looking at my rules version, Mr. Brown's rules version, so it's rule 12.22.2.2, Roman numeral I, and so I just recommend that that's on page 12/139O. Roman numeral I. So top, there are these educational facilities. You can see that there's location of outdoor activities. So what I would be recommending is that if the indicative sports field is deleted, then I think it would be prudent to have another matter of control that links specifically to open space provision for educational facilities. These two open space servicing educational facilities. Access to open space for educational activities. So that would be in place of any identification of indicative sports field.
Just, can I just ask a question on that?
Yes.
What do you have to say about your landscape reporting season? About having a community playground type area. I think around areas the same as like educational activities, isn't that? It's a different thing.
That's right. So I mean, educational facilities have access to more formalised play space.
What about, do you have any view on it, whether there should be any other?
Well, I do have a view, and I think the council does as well, because historically they agreed with the council through the Mount Cadrona deed for the provision of open space. Now, that deed's currently been updated at the moment, but certainly there was an agreement that there was going to be some form of open space vested at some stage in the future. And that would be advanced as part of a future subdivision process.
And do you know if it's in the updated version
of the scheme? I don't think that deed's been updated at this stage, or agreed, but certainly the provision of open space won't be markedly changing over what was agreed originally.
If I can comment on this, as we go through, clearly commissioners, the council will be able to take reserves anyway.
That's correct.
Particularly, I'm going to check. I don't think there's anything to prevent any. Kick a ball around open space park type area, because it will be a permitted activity, even in 6A. It's just no structures, no office, no fenced sports fields, but if the council wanted a reserve in 6A where you can kick around the ball, A would be a permitted activity, B the council will be able to take this reserve. If that wasn't. And that may be covered in the stakeholders' deed, which is awaiting the outcome of this hearing, by the way.
I think the stakeholders' deed set out a framework, broad framework of land that could potentially be vested, but correct me if I'm wrong, there was no specific agreement that this area was going to be taken as...
There was a map. Possibly.
Yes, exactly, that's right.
Well, I think the thing is with that sort of... it's a little bit different with sports field, where a sports field you tend to go to a place to play rugby or cricket or rugby. A tip around the area tends to be something that you don't want it necessarily to be on the edge of the development, because sometimes it would have been a little odd, you know what I'm saying?
Needs to be accessible, I mean, notwithstanding the fact that this particular area of the site that we're talking about, 6A, I think we're calling it now, it's not particularly level anyway, so there was always that bigger picture issue of how you could actually create a sports field in that location anyway. But okay, so that's one issue. The next is, and it's I think Mr. Brown covered it off, but it's not actually being specified in any detail. Page 21 of my Section 42A report, I requested some amendments to the actual design guidelines. Because of the timing and the logistics of trying to amend the design guidelines to articulate those changes, they haven't been put in front of you. So I just wanted to make sure that's not lost in the changes that will be coming back to us. I'll just take you to it. Essentially, it's picking up the amendments relating to protection on the night sky. Yeah, 21, page 21 of my report. So on page 21 I recommend a number of changes which have been carried through in the rules. At the bottom of page 21 you can see where I talk about amend the design guidelines as follows and specify a number of provisions. So I just want to make sure that those are carried through as part of any formal right of reply from the requester. And my discussions with Mr. Brown, that they were acceptable. So you can anticipate those coming through. So in terms of issues around infrastructure and access, I'm satisfied that the material before you demonstrates that any issues to do with access and infrastructure can be and have been dealt with. Just on the issue of the water permit, the very varied water permit that was tabled today, I've had quite extensive experience dealing with consenting of water takes in Canterbury over the last 5 or 6 years, and ORC and Environment Canterbury are very similar in the way that they deal with conditions relating to over-allocated catchments, and in particular I just want to draw your attention to condition 5 of that varied consent, which sets out the performance monitoring and the requirements for data collection. That is quite typical of conditions that are imposed on water takes and over allocated catchments, and in particular the link back to the monitoring clause condition 14 of this consent that actually enables the council ORC to actually undertake a review in the event that any monitoring under condition 5 identifies issues to do with excessive non-compliance. So that links back to earlier comments that the conditions are very robust and there is sufficient mechanism there to ensure that any non-compliance of these conditions can be dealt with accordingly. So I think you should have a high level of confidence that the consents as structured provide that certainty that there's not going to be excessive water beyond what is consented here.
Speaking as a director of a water company, in case commissioners aren't aware, these days that's electronic data that goes to the ORC.
That's right. So essentially it's text.
It's and meters and flows and everything.
It's straight through
to the ORC every day.
And what do they do?
watch it.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
They watch it, and she can call it, well, actually, I know, because that's after they broke it out, and they got in touch, so we did that.
Yeah, so it's not like it's just not a scenario where you could have weeks of excessive water tax. Those days are gone. Yeah, so I'm reasonably comfortable with the information, and it's been very helpful to have those concerns raised by submitters, because we've got so much more information before us to ensure that we have a high level of confidence. So just in relation to activity area 8C, so the issue that's been raised by Ms Holden, for Cadrona Alpine Resort is that essentially you've got an existing formed car park, gravel car park, on their land. And activity area 8C forms part of the zone before you. So I disagree with Ms Holden that the ability to form the car park in activity area 8C is outside of scope. I believe that it is inside scope, meaning that it's within the plan change boundary, but I think the bigger issue is you essentially may have the car park being extended into activity area 8C. You could only actually require part of that car park if it was to extend into the zone boundary to be formed and sealed, because there is no ability for that rule to overlap onto the adjoining zone and to control the sealing of that remaining car park. So it does raise the question about whether or not the outcome that we were originally seeking is effective, because it can only apply to part of a car park if it extends into it. Notwithstanding that, it's still my belief that it would be good to have that from an environmental point of view, good to have that car park form, but acknowledge that it can only extend so far in terms of the rules that govern the Mount Katrina Station Special Zone. So we've heard that there's further amendments that are required to the provisions of height. That's Rule 12.22.4.2, Roman numeral 3, so referring to Mr. Brown's version. I'm just coming to that. Page 12139W. So I don't have the answer to that amendment, but it does appear that there are some inconsistencies there that need to be responded to, particularly in relation to how these rules govern gondola activities. But I'm sure the requester will look to address those inconsistencies through their response. The other issue to do with noise, in particular, Chair, your comments about commercial recreation activities. I agree that there's a need to control that, so essentially we're talking about Rule 12.22.4.2, Roman numeral 5, and that's on the bottom of page 12.139x. Because commercial recreation activities are provided for within activity area 5, it would certainly make sense that noise provisions are applied to that particular activity area 5. So that would be certainly my recommendation, that the suite of controls that relate to activity area 2, 3 and 4 also apply to activity area 5.
Just ask you a question around the decibel readings that you're quoting here for 8 to 20 that I got to available. What would be the normal decibel reading that time frame, say, in Wanaka, for example, just to give us a comparison.
I have no idea.
So is 50 considered light, or is it considered?
I think that's a reasonable noise. It's not invasive.
It's standard.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Seems to be copied.
Yeah, that's right. It seems to be. I've seen that many times in this district plan.
Okay,
yeah, but beyond that answer, I probably sitting outside my
right.
Year of expertise. I'm sorry. So I certainly support the request for tidying up of activity area 6A, as it's now called, and the controls that link to that, notwithstanding the fact that the plan as notified already had a fairly extensive provision for mitigation response in that location. I think that restricting further activities in there, particularly buildings, makes sense, and tennis courts as well, which I think the definition would be defined as a building in terms of tennis fencing. So that's good to have that tidied up. I do think though that it would be helpful, because it's interesting that we've come right through this process and even I was surprised that gas bottles and, well, the intention for gas bottles and recycling facilities were to be located down by the road. Certainly the rules aren't explicit in that regard, so I'm wondering whether or not the areas located down towards the road are actually renumbered 6C, and any provision for gas bottle storage and recycling are amended to refer specifically to 6C, just so the rules are more explicit. So this removes any uncertainty. Rules shouldn't be uncertain, so that would be a recommendation. And notwithstanding the changes that have been suggested by Mr. Brown, I support the extent of those changes. There was a matter in relation to trying to tidy up the definition of ancillary commercial activities in activity area 8C, I think it was. And it sounds like there is a definition within the existing operative plan, stereo subzones, that may assist in defining or narrowing what activities can occur in that area. But notwithstanding that, the existing rule framework that governs the size of buildings and the collective size of buildings and height, in my opinion, subject to further mitigation of mounting and planting along that edge, that southern edge of activity area 8C, I think you should have a high level of confidence that there shouldn't be any adverse effects associated with activities occurring in that part of the zone.
I think it was more what the activity.
I know. Yeah, no, I totally agree that the rule framework was certainly open to interpretation, and as I said earlier, rules should be clearly defined. They shouldn't be open to interpretation. So. But other than that, that would be all I have to say on the amended information. Thank you.
Look, I have a question here just about the, this region is quite well known for its cycling routes. We have a number of cycling tracks all around here, and yet we have no reference or mention of cycling in this development at all. I just wondered why that was, just purely out of interest.
Cycling isn't cycled
still? No. Around the village, for example, there doesn't seem to me, apart from the roading structure, there's no where we cycle around a cycle track around the outskirts, for example, of the development. I mean, I was looking at the Three Parks development recently, and they've got a specific, let's call it a recreational track, if you like, around the outskirts of that development. And it just prompted me to think, just as we were talking about before, there's been no reference to cycling as we talk about cycling at the top of Cadrona, because that's one of the new activities. We're talking about having a cycling track from Cadrona to Wanaka at some point. But yet there's been no kind of reference to that, and that may or may not be okay. I'll just cue out the question. You didn't mention it in your report either.
No. Well, I think it's probably because the issues to do with formalisation, you know, council reserve, may come later. But notwithstanding that, I mean, you've got a road linkage between the zone and the wider ski area, which obviously has extensive and growing interest from a mountain bike point of view. I mean, there's probably nothing stopping kids, once the development's up and running, getting on their bikes and turning down those open space corridors and in my kids' work, so. But yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
I can clarify, Commissioner, I understand structure plan C, which has public access easements and walkways.
Yes.
They're thought behind me to be dual purpose trail tracks.
Okay, cool.
Yes, should say that. There's enough room there, and I'm sure the width that you can bear to cycle.
Well, it was just even acknowledging it, I think, would be quite helpful, yeah, to the wider community, you know, sensible signals.
They're the kind of trails we probably wouldn't expect people to be in danger of dying because of a mountain bike just coming through the
mountain.
I have
a question, actually.
Yeah.
Found it.
Yeah.
Sorry, on page 7, it talks about the stakeholder deed and community housing law. Is this something that sits outside the plan changes, obviously that was agreed to previously, and
yes.
They take as a deed, and the drug provisions or anything in that's proposed in the plan change that would give effect to that, it's something that's intended to sit separate.
That's right, yes. So I think where we've landed with the deed is that the discussions to date have been around the provision of affordable housing or community housing, and I think those discussions are just about there. In my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not going to be any less affordable housing provision offered as part of the amended deed that sits with this plan change. I think that's the important thing, is that the deed that sat with the operative plan change 18 sat with that plan change, and it essentially has to be not rewritten but amended to link with this plan change because it's a separate plan change. So yes, it is a separate document that sits outside it, but it does give effect to some of the policy frameworks in the operative plan, particularly around affordable housing.
It's quite common in this issue for a plan change that associated with the private stakeholders deed between the requester and the council. It sits outside the ANA process to achieve outcomes that can't quite be achieved inside the ANA process.
Is that like a construction funding or something like that?
Very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Thanks for my questions that we've been doing, I think, and making sure I didn't miss anything. But I just wanted to just check on your pages 37 through to 39. You were responding to Dr. Pippa Kyle's submission about mitigation planting, and I just wanted to check with you quite what you're saying around there. I think Mr. Leslie raised in terms of planting going in before development occurs in the zone. What is that going to be recommending now? What are you recommending?
Well, the existing operative zone provisions are fairly robust in regards to mitigation planting.
Mm.
And the rule framework already provides for mitigation planting being implemented, I think, before, sort of what the actual wording is. But there is a requirement for mitigation planting to be in place at a certain time.
Before buildings are erected in activity area 1B
and the southern neighbourhood, that's right. Which is, if you look at the structure planning, the southern neighbourhood is
really. There you go.
Yeah, that swathe of land just here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So it's an extensive area of the site. So the only real change in the rules to respond to some of the comments raised by submitters is in relation to locally sourced plants being provided for, which makes sense given the alpine context within which the site sits.
All the other questions
I had have been answered through the day. Yeah, okay. Anything else? Nothing from me, no.
Right then. Back to you,
Mr. Ellison.
And
I would like to seek leave commissioners for this hearing in June to enable us to file a written final suite of plan provisions with an accompanying explanation. Plus any other matters of close, although to be honest, although I don't much find in this hearing, I love the close. I don't know how to even close on. I think some of this committee's concerns about activity that's set down has been fully addressed, and my submission would be this concerns about water have been fully addressed by itself. Christ has raised nothing with any concerns, so by the end of this week on district plan review. Sorry, Rosie.
Right. Well, we'll adjourn on that basis then, so we'll speak to the material then and
I'd like to express our appreciation to the panel for assisting us to get through, get completed and get home, and I have to come back in the morning.
You're welcome. There are 10 to put it in the sheet. So bright.
Thank you.